So, as we're on this third week of our stewardship, I have a scripture to share for you. It's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 19. And it begins and it ends talking about money. And that's important. But I want you to listen to is the middle of the scripture that talks about the good fight of faith. So hear these words. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, people of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I really like the last words of that scripture, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. That's great. And this passage here in Timothy, Paul is talking again about this financial gravity that we've talked about the last couple weeks, being tethered to our possessions and our money instead of to God. Honestly, I feel like I've talked enough about financial gravity the last couple weeks. It's an important issue, but today what I want to focus on is that tethered to God part. It makes sense that we shouldn't be tied down to worldly things. We should have God in that top spot, and that's most important. But what does that really look like? It's one thing for me to say, make God your number one priority, but what does that really mean? Does it mean giving more money to charities or living a simple life or just saying your prayers? Sometimes at church, we commit the sin of not paying attention to the real world, day-to-day world. If we're going to talk about that life that really is life, we should talk about what really life looks like. It's about more than just money. So I'm going to give you a case in point. A couple weeks ago, Carla McCormally sent me a blog that was published on the page for the Kansas City Mom Collective, which is this local focused parenting for moms and for families. And the writer is a woman from Olathe named Brittany Ranke. Anybody know Brittany Ranke? I realized it was possible. She's from Olathe. I want to share some of what she wrote. I don't know Brittany. I actually messaged her and told her I was going to use some of her words in my sermon. So let me quote this writing she did. It's called When Organized Religion Feels Like Too Much. This is what she writes. I'm sitting here with about 1,000 things running through my brain. An invisible checklist of everything that needs to be done for the house, kids, work, school, mental health, physical health, finances, marriage, and taxes. And those are just the big things. There are about 10 subheadings under those mental tabs, especially with 3 kids, one of whom has been recently diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, and a marriage that is struggling through all this chaos and change. If you grew up or have become religious in any sense of the word, there's probably a group or person who is continuously advising you to put your higher power first. I don't know about you, but I have absolutely no idea how I can add that to the mental or tangible list of things. And a little bit later, she says, if you had an upbringing like mine, you've probably been told this 1,000 times. As a Christian, this has been a lifelong message. Put God first and he will put everything right. There's a part of me that still believes that, but it just doesn't seem realistic or attainable at this moment. Only you can answer that question for yourself. And then she goes on and she talks about all she has to do to make it to church, getting the kids up and dressed. She talks about how her and her husband are introverts, how hard it is. And she says, there goes Sunday. There goes a whole day. And she continues, let me be clear. I'm not against spirituality, churches, or organized religion. I've read enough studies to know that believing in a higher power and participating in a religion has a significantly positive effect on one's mental health. Also, as a Christian, I'm all for Jesus. I'm all for showing love for everyone. I'm all for teaching my children the same things I was taught, to show kindness and gentleness and love toward everyone. I know most religions teach similar philosophies. What I can't do is handle the heaviness of organized religion in this season of my life. I think that's really well said. I especially perked up when she said the part how she's always been told put God first, but how it just doesn't seem realistic or attainable at this moment. When I read that, I felt a little convicted because I've been spending the last 2 weeks saying, put God first, put God first. Have I said enough about how to do it? What do you do when the circumstances of your life are such that making room for God in your life seems unrealistic or unattainable? If Brittany were here, what would I say to her? Her situation is very similar to what other folks in that 20 to 50 range are going through, some of them, because their busy lives are just getting busier. And at our home meetings, we talked about this. We talked about how there are a lot of young families that just didn't come back after COVID. And that's not just true here. That's true in all of Christendom, all the denominations, everybody has experienced that. People who are, as a result of that societal shift, they're just not coming back and setting foot in church buildings. It's like the rest of their lives swam in and took the place where the church once stood. I realize I'm preaching to the crowd here. I'm so glad to be part of this congregation. I get so fulfilled from worshiping and the fellowship and all that stuff, serving. But how do we convince those folks who've drifted away from this church that this church is a powerful way to stay tethered to God? Well, as I mentioned in the video, that's what this InReach team is going to be talking about. We're looking for folks in this age group, folks who are passionate about their relationship with God and passionate about Grace Church, who can help brainstorm ways to reach out with love and care to people who are struggling, like Brittany, to receive it. I invite you to prayerfully consider being a part of this team or the outreach team. That team will be committed to showing love to our neighbors in whatever ways we can, the ways that we dream up as a group. Both teams are probably going to start out by meeting monthly. We do some research and conversation and see what people's needs are and how we can meet them. Then we're going to get to work. We're going to figure out ways that we can invite the whole church to participate and reach out in different ways. Right now, I don't know exactly how to help folks like Brittany that are overwhelmed with life. I'm not sure how to have them keep that relationship with God, but maybe John Wesley can point us in the right direction. Do you know who John Wesley is? He's the founding father of Methodism. He was a priest in the Church of England back in the 1700s, but he had some amazing ways to talk about faith and service and especially grace. Now, in 2 weeks, actually, I'm going to start a sermon series called John Wesley's Greatest Hits. And yeah, you don't want to miss it because we're going to be talking about stuff that is unique to Methodism, that is special for us and how we believe. And it may actually change the way you think about some things with your faith. It's the most important sermon series I do, actually. I don't want to oversell it. But it's stuff Methodists should know. But there's one thing I won't be covering, and I want to tell you about it today. It's called the means of grace. This is a John Wesley idea about how you and I can experience even more of God's grace in our daily lives. You want to talk about being tethered to God? This is how he believed we could do that, even in our complicated lives. So it starts with grace. There's a reason our church is named Grace. It's one of the, maybe the most important word in Methodism is grace. And the definition of grace, the formal definition is the unmerited love of God. Put it in today's words, it's unconditional love from God, or no matter what kind of love. God's grace is coming to us all the time. It's like a continuous feed into our lives. But John Wesley thinks that we can do things in our lives to reach back, like extending our hand in willingness and desire to receive that grace. And when we do those things, the power of that grace becomes multiplied because we're focused on it. We're open to it. He broke the means of grace into two categories, okay? One category is works of piety, and the other category is works of mercy. So the works of piety are things we can do to strengthen our relationship, our direct relationship with God. So they are things that you might be familiar with. Prayer, that's the first one, to be in prayer. Reading the Bible, not just reading it, but wrestling with it and learning from it and applying it to your life. Then there's fasting. We don't do a lot of fasting in the Methodist Church, but the idea behind it is to go without something, typically food, and when you're going without that, you reflect on your relationship with God. Healthy living. Wesley thought just living a healthy life is a means of grace. Sharing our faith. He didn't mean clobbering people over the head with your faith. He meant making faith part of your daily life, that it would just naturally come up in your conversation. He talked about taking communion as really important. Wesley believed we should take communion as often as possible. That's why it's really cool that we do that here. You know, it's where better place to be connected with God through the body and blood of Christ. And then there's this other one that I think is really interesting. It's called conferencing, Christian conferencing. And that's where you hold yourself accountable with other people, like a small group or a Sunday school class. It even means debating issues of faith, like having somebody that's pro-LGBTQ and somebody who's anti, but they both come from a faith place, talking about it and learning from each other and growing. That is actually a means of grace when we do that. How about that? So those are the works of piety. All right? You can try to keep those in your mind. That's the first part of how John Wesley said we can be tethered to God. I'm wondering, how many of those do you practice? I'm sure you probably practice some of those. I would point out to Brittany that she can do a lot of those, even in the midst of her busy life. She can probably carve out some time to pray or read a few chapters from the Bible or some of these other things. If Sunday morning church just isn't working for her, maybe she can be part of a small group. I don't know. I hope eventually at some point she is going to be able to make space for church and worship and fellowship in her life, which, by the way, is another means of grace, worship. All right, so that's works of piety. Now, then there's works of mercy. And these are things like visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving generously to the needs of others, seeking justice, ending oppression, and addressing the needs of the poor. So these are outward actions, dealing with our relationship to the world. And when we focus on the least of these, which is that what's really talking about, it's an opportunity for us to experience the fullness of God's grace. If you've ever been on a mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. You're there helping people, and somehow you feel the power of God's grace. So, you know, maybe that's supporting a human rights campaign or the Heifer Project or UMCOR. It can mean contributing to the church financially. Those are means of grace. These are things Wesley believed you could do out in the world to put yourself in the best place to receive God's grace. What kinds of works like this do you do? Remember, we're called to do these things, not to earn our salvation. That's important to remember. We don't do these to earn our place in heaven. We do these as a thank you to God who has given us God's unconditional love. God gave us that, and we say thank you. Here's how we're saying thank you. There's many things on this list that Brittany and her family could be doing. Little things and big things that might make a difference in this world. She's already probably doing some of these things, both works of piety and works of mercy. I would want her to know that these things can be part of her daily world and her busy life, that she can or may already be living these out in many ways that honor God in that top spot in her life. Now, the truth is, Jesus believed in a community of believers, all living out that grace together. So yes, I think we're on to something here. I want Grace United Methodist Church itself to be a means of grace, a place where we seek God's grace together, a place that would be worth someone like Brittany coming to be a part of. Now, how can I express all that in a way 20 to 50-year-olds who have drifted away could understand? I don't know. I need your help. Even if you aren't in that age range, you're still welcome to be part of the InReach team, because we need all kinds of ideas and perspectives. And of course, everyone here is welcome to be part of the outreach team. In fact, some of the things our team will be doing that are under the umbrella, like the Living Nativity and the ice cream, I mean, those are outreach things that came out of this church. So think about it. But beyond that, simply by just being here, by making church part of your weekly pattern, makes you a walking, talking billboard for what the means of grace can do in your life. This is just one way among many, that you can find yourself and keep yourself tethered to God. All right, I invite the band to come up. I want to leave you with this. Next Sunday, you're invited to bring your commitment card to church with you, or maybe online. Regardless, next Sunday, we renew our commitment to work in this church for the next year. In addition to our pledges, I'm going to talk about the vows we make when we join the church. I bet you don't remember the vows you made when you joined the church. It's those five things. We commit our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. In many ways, those five things are a way of expressing the means of grace. We'll talk about how we can live out in some practical ways that commitment through the life of this church. For this week, think about some of those means of grace you just heard about. It's crazy, but it's true that this guy from 300 years ago has offered us this suggestion for how we can keep God in the top spot. It still makes sense today. Not just for here on Sunday morning, but every day of our busy lives. Amen.